You are listening to the Noisy Narratives podcast, a podcast produced by the Women of First Ministries at Frisco First Baptist Church in Frisco, Texas. Here at Noisy Narratives, we like to cut through the noise of our stories and get to the heart of what really matters. We hope you are blessed by what we share. Thank you so much for listening.
And isn't it amazing?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Noisy Narratives. This is Debbie. I'm here with Christy.
Hello.
For another day, another day.
Another day, another time.
Another blessing of a life.
That's right. We get to do this.
We get to do this.
Yeah, this is fun.
It is fun. And today we have a fun guest on that we'll share in just a bit. But what do you have for us?
Okay. So have you ever heard of like today's an international day of
prayer?
Yeah. Like that's a great one. Mm-hmm. But have you heard of other ones? Like it's National Pizza Day or it's National Taco Day?
Oh, yeah, totally. I don't pay attention to them, but I know they exist.
Okay. I don't really either until it involves me getting something free or the kids getting something free. Like National Snow Cone Day or National, what was it? There was one that they were like, we've got to go to Dairy Queen. And it was like National Milkshake Day or something.
Oh, that's funny.
And it was discounted. So that's kind of how I know it. But November 19th, which is today, listen to these fun ones. National Play Monopoly Day.
National Play mm-hmm. Monopoly Day.
Mm-hmm. National Men's Day.
Isn't every day Men's Day?
I was waiting for you to say that.
We know each other so well. She knew exactly what I was going to say. We did not rehearse that, by the way.
It's also our World Toilet Day.
I'll explain these a little bit because when you first hear them,
you're kind of like, what?
Yeah.
National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day.
As opposed to National Carbonated Beverage Without Caffeine Day.
Sure. National Non-Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day, right? All the options. So International Men's Day is a global day to focus on men's and boys' health, positive contributions to society, and their overall well-being.
Aw, that's sweet.
See? You like it now. Okay. World Toilet Day. What do you think World Toilet Day is? First, you've got to chuckle, right?
I'm grateful that I have a toilet.
Yeah, we
like
did switch
gratitude out our for the toilet. Mm-hmm, I do. I am grateful that we have a toilet, not a hole in the ground. I am grateful for that.
We did switch out our toilets this year.
Yes.
And the friend group was like, make sure you get the tall toilets.
Oh, yeah.
Never, ever would have thought about it. But they were like, no, as you get older, you need...
That matters.
Yeah. And y'all have tall toilets in the potties here.
We got
you. And I was like, that's genius. Okay.
So I have to ask you, did you get a bidet?
No. I can't do those.
They're amazing.
I can't talk about that on the...
They're amazing.
No. I can't. Mama has one and I can't put myself down on the seat to do it.
Oh my gosh. They're amazing. We have it
I'm
in the toilet
to talk about this. I can't
you
do
are?
This.
Why?
Because it's cleaning your underside. That's weird. I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. Because we don't talk about weird things on here.
You can keep talking about that.
That's the potty talk I cannot do. Literally. Cannot do that potty talk.
That is. Okay, we're done. Anyway, so World Toilet Day is an international day to tackle the global sanitation crisis and advocate for safe and clean toilets for all.
Oh, I like that better.
I know.
That's
is
really
that interesting?
Good. That's great. Because there aren't people don't realize. Like I talked to a missionary one time, who went to a place. It was on the continent of Africa, super horrible, poor, like awful, and they have a hole in the ground with like these slats that are up around it. But it's so there's no toilet paper. There's barely like even leaves to use, if you can imagine. But anyway, she said there's nothing more humbling. There's nothing that will help you feel more grateful than to go share and minister to and share life with people who really are in significant poverty and these things we take for granted, like toilets, aren't available. And so I love that like something so little that we use all the time, it feels little to us. But if you give even like one toilet to a community, how grateful would they be over there?
And I guess toilets come after they get their water supply. So I would think, you know what I mean? Like that's a big, I don't know if I know of any nonprofits that are like, send a dollar today to provide a toilet.
Right.
But you send a dollar to provide the water that then will
eventually
provide the plumbing
maybe,
that will maybe get the toilet.
But even plumbing's different than water because water, it's supplying a well. You're not getting plumbing in the area. I mean, this was literally slats. They dig a hole, they use it for a little while, they fill it in, and then they have to move the wood like somewhere else to be able to, dig a different hole.
Yeah. What about the odor?
Yeah, like it's, I mean, anyway, that went, that conversation went crazy.
In the toilet?
In the toilet. But, you know, speaking of be grateful for
yeah, it something. Is. Yeah, totally. When you flush your toilets today,
just remember, thankful. Some people have holes in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, National Play Monopoly Day, a day to celebrate the popular board game Monopoly.
That one's a little more first world problem-ish right there.
100%. And so is yeah. the next one. National Carbonated Beverage with Caffeine Day, a day to acknowledge the history and variety of carbonated drinks that contain caffeine.
So who sits down and makes these days?
So I did Google that. Let me get through this and then I'll come back to that list because I was like, this is stupid. Not stupid, but like who?
Fascinating.
Because it keeps going. Okay. And there's Women's Entrepreneurship Day, an event focused on empowering women in business and celebrating their contributions. National Camp Day, a day to honor the outdoor experience of camping. National Education Support Professionals Day honors the work of education support staff. So that's
all on the 19th.
All on the 19th. All
wow,
today.
Wow, that's a lot to do.
Yes. So to get an official International Day, you must first propose it to a UN member state of the UN General Assembly for adoption. That's actually for International Day. Let's see how you get a National Day.
So the International Days that we have are all through the UN first.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is for the National Day. Let me go back to that one because I actually didn't realize I was looking up international. You have to pause. Oh, so privately registered National Day. Use a registry service. You can register your own with private organizations that maintain a registry of holidays. Submit an application. Application review. Gain recognition. And then you have it.
Wow. So it is
that
pretty easy.
Easy.
So that's why we have so many because it's easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, Monopoly people were like, let's have a day for us because it might make people play our game and go do it. And then like did Coke and Pepsi get together and be like, well, we need a national carbonated beverage with caffeine day.
I guess so. Because I do love a good game of Monopoly.
Really, it never ends.
Oh, really? It are always in. It just takes a while, but it usually ends in our family.
I feel like Monopoly starts at our house at 9 o'clock
Risk.
And I go to sleep. Risk.
Did you ever play Risk? Oh. Risk never ends.
It never ends.
Risk is an all night thing.
It is.
That's when I think of never ending games. That's what I think of as Risk.
But Monopoly's good to play with. I remember the kids playing when they were little, and it was good for them to figure out who spends money, who saves money, who cheats.
That's right.
Who lies. All that stuff.
To be okay if someone's making a deal and they're not in the deal.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, the deal might even hose them. Mm-hmm. That's like real, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
game. We have members of the family, of our extended family, that could not play Monopoly because it would get knocked down, drag out.
Really?
It would get too intense.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that with our family too.
Yeah.
Like, but I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like dealing with all that stuff. Like, I don't like to make deals like that. So I'd be like, just take it. It's free.
Right.
I'm done. I'm going to go sit on the couch and listen to y'all. Argue.
I'm out. Who wants to buy my stuff for $5?
There's a couple times Gentry would win the game when she was little.
Yeah.
Her and Creighton, because they were smart with how they spent and money and all the fun things.
Fun.
I know.
That's awesome.
So there's your National Day, your International Day. I thought
so
those were interesting.
I know. I never, do you ever think of looking those up on a day-to-day basis?
No, like I
like
said,
how do
they
you
only
know the ones that will, where you get free stuff. They pop up somewhere.
Facebook
like
or Instagram or somebody tells me. Or you'll hear it on the radio.
Yeah.
Like I heard there's
I
one
just
this
don't
week.
Pay attention when I hear it. It just like goes right over my head. But you're saying you pay attention.
I think they're interesting. So like this week on Monday, there was one called Take a Hike Day.
Oh.
But that could have two meanings.
It could. What, depending on the day, the person, the context.
All the things. Honey, let's go take a hike. Or honey, I'm going to need you to go take a hike and leave me at home. So yeah, you could use many different ways on that one.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Okay.
So everybody go enjoy your national carbonated beverage.
Look up your national or international day each day and see what you get. Maybe you'll have a free Chick-fil-A sandwich or something.
And you got to do it on your birthday.
Oh yeah. Now you do. I do get free stuff on my birthday sometime.
What's your birthday?
December 17th.
Let's see if we can find out what is the.
But I'll get like the Chick-fil-A coupons and the, you know, whatever ice cream coupons from places. And
so on your birthday, December 13th?
17th.
Oh, 17th, sorry. 17th. Boom.
Right before Christmas.
Right before Christmas. It is National Maple Syrup Day.
Oh, I'm a big maple syrup person because I can't have sugar. I can get free maple syrup. Is that what I can get?
And National Say It Now Day, a day to express gratitude to loved ones.
Oh.
That's weird. But why does it say it now day? Why can't it be National Express Gratitude to Loved Ones Day?
Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
Say it now. So it feels like everybody should be talking more or something.
Yeah. And it's Wright Brothers Day and Pan American Aviation Day on your birthday and Saturnalia, an ancient Roman festival that begins on December 17th.
Huh.
Your day is very exciting. Let's see what mine is. That's funny. National Rubber Ducky Day.
Okay, tell everybody the date.
Oh, January 13th.
January 13th.
Yeah, okay. National Rubber Ducky Day.
Oh, that's hilarious.
This day commemorates the fictional rubber ducky from Sesame Street, who first appeared in February 1970. This is gross. National Peach Melba Day.
Peach Melba.
This day celebrates... Melba is like what you give your kids to like gnaw on.
This it's like day, a toast.
It is. A classic dessert of peaches, raspberry sauce, vanilla ice cream, which was created in honor of Australian soprano Nellie Melba. Hmm. Korean American Day. National Sticker Day.
Oh, that's a fun one. Mm-hmm.
Make Your Dream Come True Day.
You have everybody the fun ones. Mine's boring. Yours sound very
I
fun.
Know, they really are.
Stickers, make your dream come true.
But that should be everybody's day, like on their birthday. Like have something that you want
make
to
make my dream
do.
Come true on my birthday.
Mm-hmm. And the last one was Stephen Foster Memorial Day, which is a 19th century American songwriter. So everybody look up your birthday and then
what a great idea.
Check in, cash in on what it is.
Yeah. See what your day gives.
Yeah.
International or national, all the different things. Okay, that's fun.
National World Toilet Day. Sorry, I think that's really funny.
That conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, and especially because, I mean, that has a deeper context even, like giving toilets to like people who don't have them. I mean, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, today we have on Jeb Monolich, who attends our church and has for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was super fun to have him on. I've known Jeb for a long time because we used to teach together, but... You know him better. Like, you guys are really good friends.
Not your whole super crew, close with Jeb, but crew. Yeah, with Carrie and Meredith. His wife, yeah. But yes, for sure. And Jeb was super great to come on. I wish we would have talked more about his love for barbecue, because that's one thing that if you want to know, like, good barbecue places, he and Carrie will stop and get barbecue, and they will stop at garage sales, like, on a road trip. Carrie was just telling me about this recently. Like, they will go down to Wimberley. I think his family's down there. And on their way, they'll see estate sale and garage sale, and they will pull off and go do, like...
So fun.
So I couldn't do that because let's just pretend it takes 4 hours to get to Wimberley.
If you have to stop that much.
It could take them 6 hours.
That's right.
There is no way in the world. The goal is to get from point A to point B. And I was like, Carrie, I don't know. It's just fun. We just find stuff. And so Jeb's sweet. A great follow on X, which I think he talks about.
Yeah, he's funny. Mm-hmm. Well, and I didn't realize, I don't think he talked about this on it, on the podcast. But he fills his wife's tank with gas every week so she doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That is super sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't pump her own gas.
She does not pump her own gas.
Which is so nice. All you men out there, you better rise to the occasion.
We always joke with Carrie too, once in a while.
Yeah.
Talk about gas prices. Carrie's like,
I don't know what they are. I never see them.
My gas goes from empty to full real fast. I don't even know how
it
happens.
So great.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. They've been a part of our church for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and we think you guys will enjoy hearing his story about his business that he runs here and everything else. So anyway, here is the interview. All right. We are here with our interview for today.
Our interview. That's so formal. Our friend and our guest, Jeb Monolich.
Well, I'm really tired. I've had a long day, so we're going to see if Debbie can even make her words correctly.
You are going to totally rally. I'm not worried at all. She's going to rally because y'all are going to have moments and you're going to connect and it's going to be great because y'all are both educators.
We are.
Well, former educator, retired educator.
Right. And you did get my last name correct. That's how you pronounce it.
There's names that I'll be like, that's Jeb because I... like don't want to pronounce the name wrong.
Oh, at this point do you have kind of like a
your name's the worst. I'll be like, that's Debbie. Debbie B, there she is.
Well,
I don't want to say
working for I've been working here for a long time and Chuck doesn't even say my name right half the time.
I know.
So I think people just have like a total complex about it. And
I
so
do.
You get I do about certain people's
so
names.
So do I. Monolich is
so
another
I think,
one.
Yeah, we just get in our heads.
I know. Anyway, Jeb is here. He is here. He has been 21 years here at Frisco First, which is great. That's where I met you the first time, is in the Lester's Life Group.
It was.
You and Carrie. That's
and
fun.
This is Jeb Monolich. So
Monolich.
Monolich.
So you got it wrong.
I got it wrong, too.
Usually I get Matulich, but it's it's Monolich. Yes.
It's Monolich and not Monolich.
What is that? Is it German?
It's actually Croatian.
Oh, that's cool.
But okay. I'm not Croatian, so yeah. It's a long story.
You're Texan. We'll just claim that as you have a native hat on.
As you were, Christy.
I know. So he's married to Carrie, who's a dear friend of mine. You're a retired educator, art teacher from Liberty. He's a Texas Tech grad. He is owner of Tumbleweed Textiles, and you're an empty nester because his baby Meredith just graduated this year and going off to Tech. Max got off the payroll at Tech, and then Meredith just hopped on it. So Max just graduated, and Meredith is off. So y'all are empty nesters.
And my son is back with us after he graduated. That's true. For now. So
he needs a job, so Max is looking for a job. So if you're listening and have a job in the accounting, business, finance area.
Yeah, business, finance.
All of it, anything at this point. Jeb is very active on Twitter. We were talking about that. He's a fun follow on Twitter. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter is Junkie Trinket.
That's right. I love it.
Okay, you have to explain how that handle came about.
Well, if you know Jeb.
I'm a collector, and I like junk, and I like to go to garage sales, estate sales, thrift stores, like yard sales, and like pick up junk and like add to my collections that I have. I have multiple collections. And so when we first got married, we had this little bitty, I guess it was like a laundry room in our apartment. It was tiny. It was just big enough for the washer and dryer, but I had like stuff all over the wall. I had my stuff just piled in there because we didn't have a washer and dryer. And Carrie one time said, "I'm getting sick of these junky trinkets, like filling up this whole room. We got to get a washer and dryer in here." So like I was like, "Junky trinkets, that's kind of funny." So I jotted it down, and then I just owned it. So I started a blog called Junky Trinkets, and I started all my handles on Instagram and then on Twitter.
You have such an entrepreneurial spirit about you.
He does.
You have these little glimmer of ideas and you just run with it. It's so fun.
Which is kind of where your story kind of doesn't start, but kind of like, tell us, how did you end up in Frisco working all of that? And then how did Tumbleweed Textiles come around?
Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, we'll have to start at the beginning. We'll get through it all. Believe me. Make it.
How far back do you want to go? Like,
you're from New Braunfels. Right.
Yeah. My dad was a football. I'll just kind of start there. My dad was a football coach. And so we moved a lot. I think I went to 6 elementary schools growing up. Mm. And so we were always moving. He was going to that next job, or whatever. But I got interested in art about second grade. I won the art contest in my second grade class.
Oh, wow.
And then they had all the class winners go against each other for the whole second grade, and I ended up winning that as well. And so that was the first time that I had like a teacher that really was like, "Jeb, you've really got a talent here. You won 2 blue ribbons, you know." And so I kind of was like, "This might be something that I'm good at." And so I kind of just dove into it. Like I just started drawing and like really going all in on my art and drawing. And I never took a formal art class until seventh grade when I was in middle school. And so I learned how to do perspective and shading. And I was like, my mind was like blown. I was like, this is so awesome. Cause I was always self-taught before. So I took art in seventh grade, and I took it again in eighth grade. And then I took it again in ninth grade. I took art one, which is what I was teaching for 18 years. Took that in high school, but then that was my last art class, was art one in ninth grade. At the high school that I was at, I was real involved in drafting. So I was real interested in like mechanical drawing, architectural drawing. And so I did that all 4 years, went to state, went to nationals. Like I was really big into that whole scene. I even took one class twice because I'd taken all the classes that they offered. And so my teacher had me take it again. I didn't even get credit for it because I was so into the contests and stuff. And so anyway, so I was an athlete. My dad, like I said, he was a football coach. So I was football, basketball, track. And then I was art or like drafting, mechanical drawing and that kind of stuff.
Pause real fast. Cause you're a very large man. How tall are you?
6'3" now. I think I've shrunk. I was 6'4".
That happens, as we get older. Yeah. So does that accepted in your home art and football at the same time, like athletics?
Oh, absolutely. My parents thought that it was cool.
I love that.
And both my parents were actually, they had a little bit of artistic ability. Like they could always draw stuff when I was little. Like if I asked them to draw things, they could.
It legit looked like it. Like Gentry's like, "Draw a pig." And I'm like, "No, there's a snout and eyes." And she's like, "That's not a pig."
Me too.
Some drawing skills.
Oh, that's good.
So it was good. It was a good mix.
Okay, so then high school, you did both of that, and then you...
Went off to Texas Tech. I was going to be an architect.
I was wondering.
And so did that for 2 years. It was an architecture school. Then my heart just kind of wasn't in it. I don't know. I just had a professor, I guess one of my classes. He just seemed really negative about, like, the job perspective and just how hard, you know. And it was starting to switch to computer stuff. Like when I was there, I was like really into the drafting and the drawing part, but it was all moving to CAD. And so I was not as interested in the computer aspect of it.
So
and
you liked to go old school. You'd like to draw by hand. Yes. Back when you used to have to do all those drawings by hand.
Right.
Then it was moving to digital, and that was not going to be... That is a whole different skill, isn't it?
It is.
That's super interesting. Yeah. That's true. That transition... I never thought about it.
It wasn't as fun. It was like taking me forever to draw like straight lines on the computer and stuff. I'm like, okay, I could do this
in 2 seconds. Quicker. Oh, interesting.
So I had a change of heart. And, you know, with my dad being a coach, I decided I wanted to get into education. Had a heart for kids and sports and athletics. And so after 2 years, I switched my majors. That's why I was in college for 6 years. But I didn't meet Carrie till year five.
So there you go.
Which is the real reason.
Because I could have graduated and then, you know, would have never met
her. You would have missed Carrie.
Because she's 2 years younger than I am. So. So graduated from Tech, and I got my first job in Garland as a coach and a history teacher, and also an art teacher. So I taught some sixth grade art classes. One thing I did do when I graduated Tech and I got my teaching certificate, which was in geography, PE, and then in history, I went ahead and took the art certification test because I knew at some time down the road I might want to teach art because it was a love of mine. Taught in Garland for 4 years. And then came to Frisco.
You realized you wanted out of Garland, let's be honest.
Yeah, I had a buddy that came down. One of my best friends from college came down. And he actually, you know him, Dustin Morfus.
Oh, yeah.
He interviewed at Clark with Mr. Chandler. And he came back because he was staying at our apartment in Dallas. And he's like, oh, Jeb, you got to come to Frisco. The facilities are incredible. This new middle school, they're hiring 6 coaches. They got track. I mean, he's just going on 2 gyms. So I was like, oh, my gosh, this sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. And so, so he gave Mr. Chandler my resume the next day. And then I had an interview with Mr. Spain like the next week, and I got hired. I was the second hire at Clark for the boys coaching staff. And so, I was there for 6 years at Clark Middle School. I taught Texas history. Okay. And I was the boys' football, basketball, and track coach.
And then y'all know each other.
That's how we know each other is from. So I was teaching in Frisco, first at Staley, then at the 6th grade center. Mm-hmm. And this is back when there were 4 schools total. Mm-hmm. And then that year that Clark opened, I moved over to open Clark as the tech person. Right. And see, this is back in the day where teachers did not want computers in their classrooms, where you're having to teach teachers how to plug in a mouse. That's where we were at, right? So I would teach, like, I would train all the teachers. There was one of us per school because we had to do so much training with the teachers. And so I would train the teachers how to use technology in their classroom, but then also train them on how to use, because we were going to electronic grade books. We were moving from paper to electronic. All their PowerPoints we were putting projectors in the classrooms. And so I had a tech guy that worked for me that he would do all the repairs in the classrooms. And we had computer labs. So the teachers and the coaches would bring their kids to our lab, and I would teach maybe a lesson they wanted me to teach using the computers. I would teach them how to use the web and the internet and all that stuff. So brand new, right? Jeb was history and coaching along with this whole group of coaches, and they were all great guys.
You guys were really good staff.
It was, and the whole staff was great. We had a really good administration. A lot of our staff, we were just talking before now, have moved on and moved up in Frisco and other places, right? But it was just a great place to work. It really was. But their whole coaching staff, these guys, they were so fun, but they hated
technology,
the tech. They hated having to use the technology and having to do all these, because they still had to do grade books. They still had to do all that kind of stuff. And so I would send out emails to all the staff, and I would say, hey, here's, and with the instructions, these are the instructions for closing out the semester. These are the instructions for closing out the year.
They didn't read
and
it.
And they would have closeout. So there was one year they came to me, and I think it was girls' first year.
Probably.
And so I had sent it all out. I was checking. They had to bring me their sheet so I could sign off on it before they were allowed to be done for the summer. So, you know, teachers are chomping at the bit. And this is back when we had to work on Saturday. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole crew of them, there was like 6 of y'all, 5 or 6. They come to my office together, and they just stand there in a line, and they're like, we never got the email. All of them. And I just look at them, and they're just smiling. Like, we never got it. Look, we can't all be saying this.
Yeah.
That was, who was it? Manuel said that. And he was we can't all be saying this. And I'm like, oh, yes, but you can. I really think you can.
That's hilarious.
So then what they didn't know is I could pull up the email I sent. And because it was in district, I could see not only saw it, but I could tell them when and the time they opened it.
That's so...
So I pulled them all. I said, y'all, come here. Come here. Yeah. Gather around my computer. And so I clicked on it. Said, oh, you opened it here.
Uh-huh.
You opened it here. All of them had opened it. I said, but because y'all are awesome, let's print some of these off. Yeah. Let's just go through it together. I'll walk over with you. So I walked over to y'all's
like, do like a team training for the coaches. Right. That's what this is. Oh, yeah,
so they had their, you know, their offices were over by the locker rooms. And I walk in there every time going, I'm so glad I don't have to work in this place.
Right.
Man, it smells middle school boys.
Oh, yeah.
But y'all were so fun because I could mess with you and you didn't care. Because every time they call, like they would call with a, hey, we can't do it. I'll come over. We'll help you. It's all
and
right.
It's really that we can't. It's that we just don't want to.
Well, and they were busy. Like, I know, like coaches, it's crazy.
It
the
is.
Schedules y'all have, it's nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you got a lot on your plate, right?
Totally.
But it was super fun to mess with them.
I mean, those were the days when like email was like a brand new thing. Like,
brand new.
Like, it was
dial
fun
up.
Just to like message back and forth to people. And then like, I remember new. When I found out we were going to have like a online grade book, I was like, oh, I'm going to have to type in all those grades.
That's right.
But then because I didn't have one in Garland, we did it by hand. And I don't know why I thought it was easier to do it by hand. I'm like, you do it on the computer, just averages it for you. I'm like, I quickly realized that online was
better.
Like way
it
better.
It was better. It so, was that initial like
learning
jump.
Curve.
You guys were special. You were a fun group of guys to work with.
That was a good
And most, almost all of you were believers, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody in the school, they just treat each other so nice. And everybody was super respectful and kind. And
right.
It was fun. But that is my funny coach story.
That's good. I had forgotten about that.
Coach Jeb.
So you stay at Clark. How long are you there?
I was there 6 years.
And then you moved over. You decided you needed... Or you wanted high school level?
Well,
or
Mr.
Just...
Waldrop was our principal the last 2 years, and I became close with him. And then he took the Liberty job, so he wasn't our principal the last year at Clark because he was opening up Liberty.
Because Clark was in middle school, so he moved up to a high school.
So it was still under construction, so he had a whole like gap year to like build up Liberty. And I think I was in line with him at the health fair, back when they used to do the health fair. And he was like... I was like, Mr. Waldrop, you know I'm certified to teach art. He's like, no, Buck, I didn't know that. And so I was like, well, I think I'm about getting out of coaching. He's like, well, come on to Liberty. It was just like that
easy.
And he's like, come on. And then like the next week he called me and wanted to know if I wanted to be the department chair. So I'm like, I guess so. So like I had just switched, you know, I was going to high school, never done that before. I was going to teach high school art and I was going to be the department chair. So it was basically that easy. He brought me along.
And how long did you do that for?
I was there 18 years at Liberty. So
and
I was there from
like
the opening.
And high school was like your favorite age then, probably. Did you enjoy that age the most?
I didn't know
Is
any different because I did middle school for 10 years.
Yeah.
But then when I got to high school, I'm like, why did I do middle school for 10 years? This is so ridiculous. The kids were... I don't know, just a little bit more laid back and not.
Well, just
much...
what you can do with art with high schoolers.
Oh, yeah.
And must be amazing.
It was just something. It wasn't like a lot of like lectures and prep and like, you know, that, you know, the history part of it, you know, it can be a grind. Art, you know, you get to get your hands dirty, get in there and like do a lot of demonstrations and really show the kids how to do things. Then kind of let them cut loose and do their own thing, which I thought was always fun.
It was
a good transition, and it was that's.
So you were in Frisco ISD for 28 years total, then.
24 in Frisco, 24. 4 in Garland.
Oh, 4 in Garland. Mm-hmm. Okay,
and retired last year.
I did. I retired in May of 24.
So when did Tumbleweed start? Where did that blossom from?
I blossomed at Liberty. The marketing teacher at the time was a guy named Brian Weissong. He's like 11 years younger than I am, but we just kind of became friends because we both went to Texas Tech, and he started. When I started teaching at Liberty, that's kind of when I started getting back into my own art because I was kind of inspired, like, I need to start drawing and painting again because I didn't have a lot of time when I was coaching. And so really got back into doing my own art, and Brian kind of saw some of my stuff I think he saw my blog and stuff and saw some of the stuff I was posting, and he was like, man, I'll be your agent. I'll sell your artwork. He was like a salesman. Like, he's the marketing guy, the business guy. And so he was really wanting to push me, like, you got to sell this stuff. This could be in a gallery. We can do shows. I'll be your, you know, he's pushing. And he's like, we need to figure out something. So we just kind of started hanging out and talking about stuff. And then I told him I was wanting to start screen printing t-shirts, and he's like, oh, that's a great idea. We could put some of these designs on here. And anyway, I think he saw a sketch that I did once in a faculty meeting. He's like, that would look cool on a shirt. I was like, yeah, that might look cool on a shirt. So like, we just he just kind of pushed me, and yeah. like we just, the ball kept rolling, and then we finally just formed a company, and then we went and had like 120 shirts printed. I think we spent $350 each. So we had a $700 deposit, you know, or our investment, and we bought 120 shirts in three different colors, the same design, and then we sold a third of them, and so we had our $700 back, and so then we just put it into a new design.
Oh, smart. What was your first design?
It was the state of Texas, and then inside it said secede.
Oh. Y'all were so innovative. That's impressive. Yeah. I love that.
All you have to do is hit one nerve.
I know. That's great.
You don't have to hit them all.
The diehard Texans were all about it. So.
And then how did Tumbleweed come around? How did the name come around?
Well, we tried to figure out what are we going to call ourselves. So we had a meeting plan, and so he said, you come up with a list of names, and I'm going to come up with a list of names, and we're going to meet, and we're going to kind of go through them and filter stuff out and kind of see what works. Well, we wanted something to kind of pay homage to, like, West Texas. So we were, like, talking about Caprock and Cactus and, like, all the West Texas stuff, and Tumbleweed came up. We both kind of liked the word Tumbleweed. And then I had come up with, like, a play on words, like, for textiles, you know, with it being, like, you know, textiles, but, like, spelled with a T-E-X with S-T-Y, like, style. And so I kind of liked that, and he kind of liked Tumbleweed, and we kind of just agreed to just push them together. And so it's a little bit long. I think in hindsight, looking back, we would have named our company something shorter, but so that's kind of,
so helped. Your company that you're talking about is with the two together, Tumbleweed Textiles.
Right.
Now, I feel like you're the ones that came up with the Whataburger shirt.
Well, Whataburger approached us. And they're like, we love y'all stuff. Can we collab? We're like, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
And so, that's like the biggest, you know, brand in Texas. And so they came up to us, and, we designed quite a few of their shirts, and we still have stuff on their website, and we still do some stuff from for them periodically. But we were kind of one of the first, brands that they partnered with, in Texas to like do apparel type stuff.
Well, there was a Whataburger shirt on your website, because my son and my husband love Whataburger.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Jamie will eat Whataburger?
He used to eat it more. He doesn't really as
he's
much anymore.
He's such a health fitness guru.
Rare.
Maybe not.
It was a cheat meal for sure, but he doesn't eat it as much anymore. But that was, he and Joel would go together, whatever. So when Joel was graduating high school 4 years ago, I wanted to get a Whataburger shirt from your website.
Yeah.
And I went to get it, and apparently I had the same idea as everybody else, because I could not get one. They were totally sold out.
Oh, wow.
And then I got on the list to like receive a notification, and I never, like, I don't think they ever came back in stock for like a long time.
Because we had to deal with them, like, we would create the designs, and then we'd print the shirts and just ship them straight to Whataburger. So they were selling them out the WADA store. And then they allowed us to sell like four different designs online and in our store, like just four, like that we had to kind of pick out.
They were cool
ones.
Though. They were cute.
Oh yeah. I think ours were.
Yeah,
ones
we were really
carrying.
Good.
So
yeah.
They were kind of like the ones that were a little bit more artsy and kind of, you know, whatever. So, and then we had something we could only sell to retailers too, because Whataburger was real, you know, particular about what we could do with
it.
But
their
it was just awesome to be connected with them though. It was such a really.
And so you still are? You're still selling their stuff?
Are
they selling yours?
Yes, they sell some of our stuff on the WADA store.
Okay.
We have some stuff that we sell wholesale still to retailers, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Since you're a big Texas guy, has there been like a big Texas. Whataburger would be a great example, but somebody else, like a Texas country music singer or something like that you've always wanted to meet, being like a big Texas guy that you've got to meet through your. What's the word? Through your notoriety, through your business of being Tumbleweed Textiles, or people seeing you're like a Matthew McConaughey and you're like, he has my shirt on. I don't know if that happened. I'm making that up, but that would be an example.
Well, that's, if people ask me like, what's my favorite thing about owning Tumbleweed is basically the relationships that we've made.
Mm.
And we have been able to meet a lot of musicians and stuff and singers like, you know, Josh Abbott, he went to Tech. I think he was there when Brian was there. We've done shirts for him. We've done stuff for Pat Green. He was at Tech when
I
was
Pat
there.
Green.
Mike and the Moon Pies, you probably don't know them, but they're now Silverada. We've become friends with the lead singer of Silverada, John Bauman, Zane Williams. We've done shirts for him. There's a whole list. My favorite band is the Old 97s and funny thing is they stole one of my designs that I did and I drew up on my blog just like for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a post on their Instagram and they had it as their background when they were doing a concert. So I messaged them like, hey, where did you get that image for your background. Yeah. Like, oh, someone just found it, you know, at the concert, they just found it. And they just, because they needed an image to put back. I'm like, well, that's my drawing. And they're like, oh, that's cool. Would you like to do shirts for us? I'm like, yes. And so that led to that. And so now, like, I'm friends with the drummer and, you know, oh, of my favorite cool band. So, like, I've met a bunch of really cool people. We met a ton of people, like, in the music industry, the barbecue world, yes, like, just the whole barbecue world. We're friends with Chet Garner from the Day Tripper, JB Sauceda, which is the Texas Country Reporter.
Yeah.
So, and Daniel Vaughn, which is the barbecue editor. Like, I consider all those guys my friends. And so, like, they're like big dogs in the Texas world. And so, I think that's the coolest part about what we've done is just the stuff that I love. Now, I kind of feel like I know a lot of the people that are in that inner circle that are making things happen.
And do you ever pinch yourself and be like, I never thought I'd be here making shirts for or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I'm not the kind that gets super starstruck about stuff like that. But if you'd asked me years and years ago, this is not anything that I really planned out. I mean, I always liked art. I always liked Texas. I moved around all the time, had a lot of pride. But it just kind of has fallen in my lap, you know, just the connections. And I'm open to all those connections. And I feel like it's just been a good, I don't know. It's definitely shaped, you know, the last 15 years of my life, just the involvement I've had with a lot of the things that I love.
So do you miss, because you've retired for a year.
Yes.
You do this full time. Do you miss teaching?
I miss parts of it. I really missed coaching. When I got out of coaching, I think that was a harder transition.
Like, back to relationships, right?
Not being around the game and the kids and the strategy of the games and things, but leaving actually the classroom.
See, it
was time. I was ready, especially after the COVID years, teaching art via Zoom.
Oh, that had to be
for every class except for one. Every day was a whipping. Talk about technology. So that was kind of I was like, okay, I can make it four more years. You know, just gotta. And then those kids, you know, when they came back, you know, the kids changed. I mean, it's a whole different ball game now than it was in those early Clark years. I mean, Frisco's changed, you know, overall, the population has just grown and you just got a little bit of everything now. And so a lot different than when it was in 2000.
The challenges are different.
For sure.
And I do think it is harder when you've been in education for a long time. I do think it starts becoming more difficult to adapt and change and learn new things to deal with the layers of challenges. They're not taking away challenges. They're just adding more. So I think it does.
True.
It becomes kind of, I mean, we see that in working with kids, even at church and camp and everything else. I mean, I love it, but it definitely, I think as we age, it's going to be time to turn them, give the mantle to other younger.
Yeah.
Other,
I mean, it's just, ones, and maybe. I was always teaching art one too. So you're getting the kids that don't want to be in there. You get some that
they
do want to be
elective
in there. Like, my favorite classes were like the advanced art one classes. Cause most of those kids were really skilled and they'd get to work and they were great. You know, in my last couple of years, I knew I was going to retire. So I kind of gave some of my honors or advanced classes to some of our younger teachers. Cause I knew I'm leaving. It's your time to kind of grow into the position.
Yeah, for sure.
I stepped back and started just teaching regular art one.
Great.
I was like, oh,
back in it.
What am I doing? I'm going to go out. I'm going to go out.
So do you still have, like, cause you're teaching kids how to be creative and how to kind of connect that part of the brain. Are you still like making new ideas for shirts and for designs? And are you still coming up with new stuff? Is that you or someone else?
No, that's me. That's probably like 85% of anything Tumbleweed comes out with. It's something that I do. Or
the brainchild of Jeb.
And it goes through me. So Brian's wife, Hillary, is also one of our designers. And so she creates some of our stuff too. But it's all kind of, you know, a collaborative effort on what we do.
So now that you're retired, you said that you are starting kind of a new business. Can we talk about that?
No, absolutely.
Okay. Does it involve art? Tell us about where you're going now.
It's very art heavy. So my last year teaching at Liberty, like I said, I was kind of working my way out of the, you know, and so I told my principal, I said, I'm retiring, as you know, in May. So if there's any, our numbers were down too. And so there weren't going to be as many sections in art. And so I'm like, listen, give the upper level good kids to the other teachers. Give me the art ones. And they're like, well, we don't have enough art one to fill your schedule. I'm like, well, just give me some stuff. And they're like, okay, so you have security duty. So every other day I had security where I walked the campus, checked all the locked doors, checked the halls. And so that took like 45 minutes of my morning.
Yeah.
But then the other 45 minutes I had free, basically. So I'm like, okay, I can do something with that. The next days, on the other days, I had learning lab. And for 6 weeks before kids really start taking tests and stuff, like I was just sitting in a computer lab by myself. So it's almost like I had like 2 hours every day. And then you count my conference. So there's every day I had about 2 hours. So I'm like, I'm going to build something. I want to do something when I retire. So, and I want it to be mine. I don't want to be partnered with anyone else. I am partnered with my wife, Carrie. We're both co-owners of this, but I'm kind of the one that's leading the charge. But decided I wanted like a place where I could sell my art. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of research and found a way that I can create my art and then sell it online. So I have an Etsy shop.
Okay.
And then also have just my website. It's the Tejas Country Club. And so I create art digitally. It's either my photography digitally, with my iPad, that kind of stuff.
Sorry.
Photoshop.
Your website's called what?
Tejas Country Club.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I didn't want to fly by that. I thought that's a great title.
When I say I was building something, like I went and I got it trademarked.
Yeah.
Got the domain. We started, business bank account. Like I'm going all in. That's whole Carrie. I'm like, we're going to do
And I'm
this.
Like, just listen from, hey. I didn't get your email. I don't want to do electronic grade book too.
Yeah, right. Right.
Or even in tech classes. I don't want to do computer line on a computer. I don't want to draw it myself.
Exactly. Look at where we're at now.
I adjusted. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm doing now. So I create art and I post it on my my two sales channels. But the cool thing is I learned about print on demand. And so everything is tied to a printer. Out of state. And so when someone orders something on my websites, like the order goes to the printer prints it, ships it, and I don't touch it.
Oh,
because that's, when we started Tumbleweed, I mean, we were shipping out shirts.
Uh-huh.
We had to bag them up, ship them labels. Mm-hmm. It was just like, okay.
And y'all had to do that to yourselves, right? You were hands-on,
early on, it was just all of us. And we finally had a fulfillment center start doing it. But then now it's back. We're doing it now. But I'm like, I don't want to do that with the art stuff. And so this is all hands off, no inventory, no overhead.
Wow.
Cool. It's all digital. And so that's kind of what I've been really focused on the last year and a half, like really pushing.
That's awesome.
To grow. Things have been so far going pretty well.
That's awesome.
And so that's more of what I do on a daily right now is create art. And just make sure I'm, uploading stuff correctly. And I've got some new things kind of up my sleeve I'm working on to kind of grow that some more. So, yeah.
You always have something going on. I want to circle back to two funny stories. So we always go to the state fair together, like our lunch group. And it's Carrie goes, Meredith goes.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fun. We love it. And so a couple years ago, we were going or walking and we always go by the Tumbleweed.
So this is your lunch group with your friends. Mm-hmm.
There's like five moms.
So Jeb's wife, Carrie,
is part of that.
You.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's like five moms and there's like 20 kids.
Yes. You would always go together.
Yeah. We all go together and we work through the line together. And Laura has our list. Who's on the podcast, Laura Lester. She tells us where we're going, when we're doing, you can stop here, you stop here. And wherever you stop, she'll be like, well, you should go over there. And she'll tell us, and we always go to the petting zoo, but we always have to stop by Tumbleweed Textiles. They're, booth. It's not a booth. It's a super elaborate.
Yeah, it's a booth in the Go Texan like pavilion.
Yeah, but it's a super cool layout. So Meredith was like, "I'm on it this year. We've got to go. Yes."
And Meredith, so Jeff's daughter.
We're all like, "Oh my god, that'd be so fun. Let's go!" And Brinley's excited. Oh, everybody's excited. And Carrie's in the back of the line, and Carrie's like leans over and goes, "I don't think she made the cut."
Oh, you're talking about like
the display.
Yeah, we have some display. Yeah, some pictures.
And we're all
stuff.
Like.
The what? Backdrop.
Yeah, but I mean, they're in front. They're so, Meredith is so excited.
So there's a backdrop in the booth.
So it's really like, it was what I remember. It was a tower
it's
that
like
you
a
had
side.
Like.
Yeah, we had like some banners hung.
Yes.
With a bunch of our photos of like models.
People wearing the shirt. So like people wearing the shirts. And Meredith is so excited because she's going to be on that. And Carrie legit is in the back going, I don't think she made the cut.
Oh, no.
Mom and I was knows. Like, Carrie, what are we going to do?
Because she helped set up. Yeah. She knew.
And so she's walking in and Meredith. She's got this great voice. And so she's like, okay, guys, here we are. And she's looking. I mean, and we're all just like, oh, God, when is she going to realize it? And she's looking at every picture. And then she goes around and Brinley comes to me and goes, I don't think she's on it. And I was like, she's not. Just be nice. And she like makes a note. And she was like, Mom! Mom! I mean, loud. And Carrie's like,
That's funny.
And she is just, and Carrie goes, ask your dad. You got to ask your dad.
Yeah.
Meredith was just like, I can't believe it. And the whole rest of the day, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. And we're like, sorry, Meredith, don't get a corn dog. Let's go get a funnel cake. Funny. That'll make everything better.
And I'm trying to picture, Carrie's so quiet.
So quiet. That's why she Meredith was like, ask like your dad.
Yelling in the store. I'm picturing and Meredith yelling not quiet. In the store. She's not quiet.
No, she's
and
not.
I'm picturing so her great. Yelling in the store and Carrie's like, no, ask your dad.
Ask your dad. Puts her head down. Ask your dad.
That's the best.
Also, tell us about you used to take your lunch to school.
Every day.
Every day.
For 20-something years, 28 years.
And I think
you
there was
a lot of money that way.
He did. But there was a goal. I feel like there was a trash bag story that you took your lunch in a brown trash bag.
It wasn't a trash bag. It was a lunch bag.
Lunch bag. Yeah. Sorry, but a brown bag.
A brown lunch bag.
Brown lunch bag.
Same and one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I would play a game where I would see how long I could get it to last. And so,
you and my husband are like the reuse of. Do you wash and reuse Ziploc bags?
I do not do that.
Okay. Oh, my stepdad does my that. Does ML that. Does that, and I'm always like, "This is I'm not using this. Give me a new one." Anyway, so tell us about. So
I'm driving with the reuse of the bag thing. Yeah.
Where did this come from? How long is the longest one? I feel like we saw a picture of it.
I don't know the names or the dates or whatever, but I usually could get. Oh man, I could get a good 3 or 4. Weeks out of
that's impressive.
Maybe a month.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive.
But like it was, there'd always be a hole. Like it would start to like get so soft and like
we're talking 20 to 25. We're
almost just kind of disintegrated.
Yeah.
At the end,
I've never heard of anybody. And Carrie is like, He tries to reuse it. Here's his most recent one. It's lasted a long time.
In my last year of teaching, I was like, I think I was. I looked at the stack of bags and I counted them. I'm like, okay,
if I can get.
If I can get like 3 weeks out of each one of these, like we're not going to have to buy bags anymore because I'm going to be retired.
Okay, because lunch bags are so expensive.
I have to ask this question though. So I just have to ask. If you take your lunch every day, why did you use a brown paper bag and not just buy
like a lunch box?
A usable.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That never even crossed my mind.
Because he was like, there's brown lunch bags right here. Why would I go buy a lunch box?
Somebody has to buy the bag.
I think I switched to like Target bags or Kroger bags
after that.
Because I started taking some salads and stuff that needed to. When I took sandwiches and stuff, it was always a brown bag.
That's great. I love it. You and I had a great conversation one time. So I'll never forget when my kids got a new art teacher at their school at Rogers. And all of them hated her because she would tell them that their art was wrong. And it's bad. Not bad. She would just say it's wrong. Like, you didn't do it right. That's not no. And my kids would just be like, how can art be wrong? Like, how can she say that? And we were somewhere. And I was like, Jeb, you're an art teacher. Help me with this. And you were so kind and you were so great. I said, my kids do this. They come in and they said, you know, Miss So-and-so said my art's wrong. It's not good. I didn't do it right. And he was like, yeah, art cannot be done right. Art can actually. And I was like, oh, she's right.
Because you have to follow directions, I guess, at some
point.
I don't know,
but I thought it was good that you were just like, I'm going to affirm the other art teacher. I don't know who she is, but yes, your kids.
Because I would have jogged with your kids.
Yeah.
I would have been like, it's art.
That's what I was like saying with them. Like, it's art. And so then I was kind of like.
I guess if you're trying to teach a concept, I guess, maybe they're not doing the concept right. I'm putting finger like quotation.
A lot of it is like, especially when I taught art one, like we're doing this skill and there's, you know, certain things we
levels
need to do correct for it to be correct.
And you're grading art on that skill, right?
If the light's coming in from the right side, you can't have the shadow on the right side. There's certain things that you've got to do in perspective and stuff. But like, if it's something that's more
elementary, like it can't be too wrong. Anyway, you just did it. Right. You were really great about just being like, yeah, it can be wrong, Christy. It cannot be done well.
So how were your kids when you broke the news to them?
They'll never do art again. Oh, no. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
So
I just appreciated that for sure. Yeah. Back to garage selling. Are you still going out to garage sales? Are you still doing that?
Absolutely.
Do you still leave at like 6 a.m.?
I can't drive by and if there's a sign, I gotta
really?
Pull. Oh, yeah.
You stop all the time. So what
all
if you're
the
on
time.
The way to somewhere?
Yep.
You still
have
to stop.
Have time, yeah. Like when we like when we were driving to Lubbock the other day, like I see a sign, state sale. We're in the middle of nowhere. I'm like, you know.
And Carrie's like, dagnabbit.
We're going to find out what. No, she's on
board. She's okay on board with it?
Oh,
okay, good.
Was she always? Or did you bring her on board?
I kind of brought her into this. I kind of brought her into this.
Because at the beginning, it didn't sound like she was all for the knick-knack in my laundry.
Junkie, yeah, truck, whatever.
I was doing that in college, though, so I've been doing this for a long time.
You've gotten so awesome here with the knickknacks you pick.
But yeah, I have gotten a lot because I have a whole room in my house. Like my whole office is like, it's like a mini museum of like stuff. It's like curated.
We're going to need a picture of that and we're going to put that as your,
I'll send you a picture.
Your photo for that.
This is like my favorite place in the house. It's like, it's got all my art. It's got all my, it's just got all my favorite things. And so I've got, and I've don't have much room left because I have, I mean, I have shelves everywhere and there's not much room.
You're going to be one of those that when you pass away, your kids are going to get your stuff, though, and they're going to find something and take it to Antique Roadshow.
Right.
And the Antique Roadshow guy is going to go, oh, yeah, this is worth like 50 grand.
I have some nice stuff.
Wow.
He's already got stuff. Interesting. What advice would you give two different groups of people, artists, young artists that might be listening, or parents of kids that have the gift and the talent of art? That'll be my first question. Mm-hmm. My second question is entrepreneurs. What advice would you give them?
Okay. Two big categories.
Yeah, I know. That seems like your world,
yeah,
though.
It is. As far as artists go, I mean, I feel like there's no better time. This is like, if you want to get your art out there, there's like all these different ways to get your art out there. But we're also at a time where I feel like almost everything has been done before. Mm. So you really have to get creative with kind of doing something that's going to like set yourself apart from everything else. And mm-hmm. then we can start talking about AI too, because now there's people that utilize that. And so there's a whole bunch of different things you have to kind of navigate. But the people that really truly have a passion for something and they're doing something that's creative and that's coming from their brain, and maybe they're, you know, there's this great book called Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon. Great book. And it takes like an hour to read and it's awesome. But it's basically everything's been done before, but you can take bits and pieces of stuff, mold it into something, change it, fix it up, put your spin on it, and then it's your own kind of deal. So that's what I would kind of recommend is kind of find a passion, but then kind of find what you're interested in, take bits and pieces of stuff, put your spin on it, create your own deal. I mean, like I said, through TikTok, Instagram, like there are ways that you can get found and go viral. And like, if that's your, you know, there's artists have to be a little bit more creative to kind of get their work out there, but there's still a lot of room for, I think, growth in the art world.
That's
today.
Awesome.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay.
And then of course, you're talking about entrepreneurs. It's kind of a lot of the same stuff, but I don't think there's been a better time to like start a business, like especially with the online resources and stuff. Like I look at what I'm doing now with the Tejas Country Club, and I'm like, why did I not do this like 10 years ago? You know, so I'm like, I think of, you know, I see how quickly I was able to kind of grow this. And I just think to myself, like, you know, you gotta put kind of all the pieces together. You gotta have a little bit of talent and creativity and like know-how and knowledge and that willing to learn. But I think there's some really good opportunities out there because I've even become, as the years have gone on, you know, I used to always be, yeah, you need to go to college. You need to get a degree. You need to go to college. But now I'm kind of like, do you really need to go to college?
I know.
Maybe not. Like if you're all about like trying to make a living and make money, I mean, do you want to go to college and be like $80,000 in debt? Or do you want to go to a trade school? Or do you want to like get on the internet and find different ways to make money? Like that are like legit. But I'm a learner. Like, right. I like learning things. Mm-hmm. So like, I like to just get if I can't figure something out, I'll get YouTube. And I'll just YouTube and I'm like, oh, okay. And I'll learn something new. And then I'll go down a rabbit hole. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, what am I doing?
That's right.
Oh, but now I know how to do this. And now I know how this connects and what this is
going
to
do. But it's that can allow you to make your own business.
Yeah. The drive, right? Like you got to have, and it's got to be something you're interested in too. So I think that's kind of why, because this being my own company, like when I'm researching and figuring stuff out, it's more fun, I guess, because I'm more invested in it.
So what does Carrie say in your company, since y'all are co-owners, just for fun? She like, nope, I don't like that one. New design.
She does some of that. So I run stuff by her just to get her opinion. And then she'll make suggestions and things too. But I mean, we're a corporation, like an S corp. So we're both,
equal
partners.
Owners.
Yes. So.
Oh, that's fun.
That's great.
That is fun.
I love it.
But yeah.
Well, thank you.
I just had one other question, because you are empty nesters. How is that feeling? Except for Max is back, so I guess he'll still be with y'all for a while.
That's going to be tough, I think.
Do you not think about it?
I try not to, but we were at like orientation. She was just meeting friends and having a big old time. Mm-hmm. So she's not, I'm not worried about her. Like totally. She's going to roll right in there. Mm-hmm. Socially, she's going to be great. Academically, you know, hopefully she'll be great too. We'll see. Max, we're on the other hand, like he was more opposite. Like, you know, we weren't worried about his grades or anything like that. And so, and he got in a fraternity up there. And so he made a whole bunch of new friends and stuff. So he had a good time up there. But yeah, it'll be a little bit different with Meredith gone because she's kind of like the voice of the house. Like you hear her coming in, like there's always some drama. There's always something going on. And so like she kind of keeps us entertained. So it'll be a lot more quiet, I guess.
Oh, man. That's going
to be... Max's going to bring some A-game or something. Max needs to step
and
up.
And how is it? I know, you know, Joel just graduated from A&M too because Max and Joel are the same class or whatever.
Right.
But it was a bit of a hard thing for him to say goodbye to college. How did Max do... saying goodbye to Chuck.
I think he was fine. I kind of, you know, I was there for 6 years and I was like, what are you doing getting out in 4 years?
That's what we do now, Dad.
It didn't even get fun until year 5 and 6. I mean, come on, what are you doing? But I kind of gave him a hard time about that. But yeah, I think he did okay. And, you know, it's a weird transition though. I think for anyone that comes out of college and you're like, because you have friends that are moving to Austin. Yes. You have friends that are moving out here. Someone's getting married. It's like your little world that you've been a part of every day kind of like starts to fracture and like people start going and doing their own things and finding jobs. And so it's just kind of a weird time, I think. I even think back like in, you know, when I did that too. Of course, Carrie and I were about to get engaged and stuff. So I was kind of, and I was, you know, she's going to get a job here. I was going to get a job here. So we kind of had a plan. But for most people, it's just kind of like, it's kind of and then you move back to your parents. You're like back in your room from high school, and it's kind of like, but I'm a college graduate. I'm 22, you know. So it's like you're trying to figure out, kind
of
navigate.
But there's so many of them that need to do that now.
But it's just kind of a, you know.
But it is kind of different
in our life. Like, it's just this, you know, with our daughter going off and Max coming home. It's just kind of a, you know, unique situation.
The puzzle pieces.
But I mean, you know, it happens to most everybody.
Well, it's nice that you like your kids too.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it a little easier, too.
It does, right?
Because some people are like, I don't want him to or her to come home, so, but that's good.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so no, I feel bad for mine just having to live with us. I'm like, man, we're just going to cramp your style. Like, you know.
Oh, I'm always like, come home. This is going to be so great. What are we doing? What's happening? What movie are we watching?
But I'm also like, you know. You go do whatever you want.
Totally.
To.
That's right.
That's absolutely true.
You have to
it
get,
is such
you,
a different
you,
vibe.
You have to go make some money. Absolutely. But I mean, if you want to move to California and go do something like that, or you want to go to the mountains, like you, there's nothing holding you
back.
Right. You're at that point. Like we've kind of done our part.
We're the same way. I'm like, now's the time
so
to
good.
Have adventures. Go live somewhere else. Like now's the time to do it. Right. I mean, that's great.
No.
You know, so that's
give
awesome.
Them the freedom.
Well, yes. Thank you for coming to see us. So
yeah,
fun.
That was fun. I appreciate you guys having me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying yes. It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
I didn't have to convince them too much. Some people are like, I know.
You're just looking for retired people that don't have anything going on in the afternoon at 4.
I mean, there might be truth there. Let's wrap this up now. That was great.
That's funny.
We didn't ask him any hugely deep spiritual questions, so we'll have to save that for next time. Like any existential crisis that you had that we'll have to get into.
They've been fortunate in that area. He did have a health scare a couple years ago or a year ago.
That's
but he recovered, thankfully.
But anyway, that's it from Noisy Narratives. We hope you enjoyed listening to Jeb's story and hearing all about Tumbleweed Textiles. And what is the name of your website? We'll put that
back. TejasCountryClub.com and then TumbleweedTextiles.com.
There you go. You heard it here. Okay. Well, until next week, this is Noisy Narratives out. Bye.